It would be really scary if we asked for people to meet and greet each other and there was just silence or hi and everybody's sitting down again. So I believe it's a good sign that God's doing some good things in our church, that meeting and greeting is something that could probably go on for a longer period of time. So this morning, we're going to talk about growing up.
I know.
Exactly. This is a message for me. But you know, one of the things is God is really into family. God is really into family. As a matter of fact, how many of you have come from a family? Hold your hands up. Look around, everybody. So obviously, God is pretty stoked on family. And the Bible says that children are a gift from God, and that he says grandchildren are a crown to the aged.
Amen.
Amen. Children are a gift from God. Just a bit of a side note, but one of the things that God's done in my life with having children and them being a gift is the richer, deeper, fuller, a bit more understanding of how God loves me. Like, it's really, there's not really the words to describe, like when Rachel arrived in the scene. I think I've told that story. Like, I was holding her in my arms, right, or in my arm, and I knew her for less than a minute, and I would throw myself in front of a bus for this person I don't even know, right, who has done nothing for me, is going to not do a whole lot for me for a while anyway. But it's a profound love. It's a profound, it's a mystery, really, when you think of it, that it's just crazy. Yeah. And the part that I just continues to amaze me is that God loves me in a fuller way than I even love my children, which is even more mind-blowing to think about that. God is into family. He's got a special heart for family and kids. And in fact, the Bible says that God loves the world. He loves everybody in the world so much that he wants them to be part of his family. He wants all of us and people outside the building and people outside the community. He wants all of us to become part of his family, to become his kids, and grow up to be like his son Jesus. That's how much God thinks about and cares about family. Ephesians 1:5 said, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So if you're here as part of God's family, it's because God knew you before you were born, that he's always wanted you to be part of his family, and that you've chosen to receive the gift and become part of that. And that gives him great pleasure. If you have your Bibles, we're going to talk about Hebrews 10:14 today. Hebrews 10:14. And again, the gist of the passage is talking about God's family and becoming more like Jesus. So Hebrews 10:14 says, by one sacrifice, he, Jesus, has made perfect forever those of us who have received the gift, who are being made holy, or another word for that is to be sanctified. So by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. I don't know when I first read that. Maybe you read it. It's a bit of a head-scratcher because it sounds like there's a couple of different tenses or text verses, verbs in there. It says he's made us perfect forever, which would sort of indicate something that's been done, right? It's over. It's finished. We've been made perfect forever. But then he goes on to say, for those who are being made holy, or sanctified, which would sort of give the idea that this is a process that's ongoing, right? So how does that work, right? How can we both be made perfect forever, and yet there's part of an ongoing process of us being made holy, or the Bible word for that in one respect, holy is set apart or sanctified to become like Jesus. So that's what we're going to look at today. And let's see if we can make some sense of it. Sort of like one of those ones that says the Bible, they have some word, you know, first shall be last, last shall be first. That's another bit of a head scratcher, right? Jesus says if you find your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life in him, you're going to find it. Again, some weird stuff in the Bible sometimes. And this is one of those ones for me that was a bit of a head scratcher. So we're going to talk today a little bit about those two parts of the verse, that he's made us perfect forever, and we're also being made holy. I've already mentioned the word for growing up to be like Jesus is to be sanctified. Sort of a formal, informal definition for what does it mean to be sanctified. It just means to grow up to be like Jesus. So in this passage, when it talks about us being made perfect, that event that has made us perfect, that is the moment that we are born again. The moment that we are born again, the moment that we receive the gift that Jesus or God offers us in Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are born again. And that is that single event in our lives that we do, and it's solid and it's sealed. And that means that we are, the Bible says, we're a new creation. The old is gone. We have a new identity as children of God now. But we are really, when we're born, we are born again as spiritual sort of infants, right? As spiritual infants. When I was born, thank you, Marianne. When I was born, right, there was a lot of, I think, joy. Somebody mentioned joy in kids. And my parents were glad, right? And it's the same with our Father. There is joy in heaven when one person joins the family. It says the angels rejoice in heaven when one person finds their way home to the Father. That's the being born again. And whether I was 18 when I was born again, for some of you it might have been younger, for some of you it might have been older, but whenever we are born again, we become spiritual infants, spiritual babies. So the process is moving from something like that. Oh. So if my parents were alive and they saw me doing that today, then they probably wouldn't be too impressed. Right? Physically, sometimes it's easy to see changes. Right? When we're younger and we get older, there are things that we can see in our physical appearance that sort of show us, hey, some changes are going on. The problem sometimes is that spiritually, how do we know if we're growing up in Christ? How do we know if we're becoming like Jesus? How do we know we're not just staying as an infant in Christ? And that's sort of what I want to talk a little bit about today. Anybody who's has children, we want our kids to grow up, right? We want our kids to grow up. And that's the same with our Father. He wants us to grow up. That process of being made holy, that sanctification process, is not a single event. It's not like the born-again moment, right? When I received and I believed what God had done for me. This is ongoing for the rest of my life, for the rest of your life. I can never sit back and go, huh, thank goodness I've made it, right? That is never going to happen for any of us. Being born again is only the beginning. So how does sanctification work? How do we become more like Jesus after we're born again? And I think that's becoming like Jesus, one of the biggest things is it involves making choices. And it is a willingness, this is the C word, a willingness to change. How many of us like to change? Nice. couple. How many of us sort of resist change a little bit? A few more, right? If we want to become more like Jesus, then we have to be willing to be changed, right? And part of that is just about the making the choices that we make. Luke 19, 23 to 25. Jesus said, if anybody would come after me, they must do what? Deny themselves. They must choose. I must choose to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow him daily. Right? I don't know about you, but that's not really my first yay kind of thing to do. Right? The middle of sin, the middle letter in sin is I. And most of us have a problem putting Jesus in the center of our lives. Most of us have a problem putting Jesus in the center and saying, yes, Lord, I am going to deny me and I'm going to follow you. Right? But Jesus says that's what we need to do. We need to make that decision. And that's a choice. Jesus is Lord. Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say no Lord in the same sentence? Can you say no Lord? No, you can't. Well, you can, but you're not submitting to him, right? Lord means I'm going to do what you call me to do. Right? He is Lord of everything. He is Lord of all. So when I feel that God is calling me to do something, I don't think no Lord is an appropriate response. Right? You've got the wrong guy. Okay? Excuse me. Not my will, but your way in everything. What's the Lord's prayer? Our Father in heaven, whose kingdom's to come? Your kingdom come, your will be done, right? And the great thing about God is he never asks us to do anything that he has not shown and done himself. What was Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane? Father, before the cross, Father, if it's possible, do what? Right, take this cup. I don't want to go to the cross. Right? I do not want to go to the cross. If it's possible, take this cup from me, but what? Not my will, but thine. Jesus never calls us to do anything that he hasn't already modeled himself. And so one of the first things I need to be able to do if I'm going to grow up in Christ is I need to say, yes, Lord. I need to say no to what I would like to be doing and look for his way. The other one is Romans 12. So once I've said no to myself, Romans 12 says we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Again, it's a pretty common passage. I think most of us know it. Paul's been writing a letter to the Romans for 12, up to this point, 11 chapters. He's been talking about God's goodness, God's grace, everything that they've been given in Christ. And then he goes on to say, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I sort of like Eugene Peterson's message paraphrase. He says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So once I've said no, or I denied myself and I'm following Jesus, the next thing is I want to be able to grow by offering myself to him. And it goes on to say in verses 3 and 4, he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So one of the things that is indicated there, again, in the Greek, there's two parts to that. There's an active part and there's a passive part. Be transformed. The transforming part is God's part with the help of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do any transforming by ourselves. We cannot transform ourselves by, I'm just going to try harder, right? It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And that's God's job. God says, I'll do that. But the renewing of the mind is our part. It's not just a passive thing where we sit there and we say, God, change me, I'm ready. Right? God says, I will change you. I'll work with you as you let me. And part of that being changed to be like Jesus is having my mind renewed. Right? A mind renewal. It's a partnership. God's part is the Holy Spirit. Our part is the choices that we make. For most of us, this is not easy, right? To deny ourselves, to offer our lives and say, you've got it all. Take it and do what you want with it. I don't know how many of you have the same problem. We live in an area where we have so much, right? We have so much. We're comfortable. We have food. We have clothes. We are so rich in what we have. We have good coffee, right? It's good coffee. And for me to genuinely say, Lord, whatever you want, I'm giving it to you. And trust that his way is the best way. It's a pretty, sort of like praying, Lord, make me more loving. That's a dangerous prayer, folks, by the way. Because if you want to be more loving, God's going to bring unloving people into your life. And he's going to say, hey, here you go. Love this person. Pray. Hey, Lord, make me more patient. Dangerous prayer. Dangerous prayer. Because he is really going to put you in situations that are going to require you to be patient. I used to, refiner's fire. My heart's to be wholly set apart. Refiner's fire. Like I think, hey, Club Med, like to be more holy. No. If we're singing that prayer from our heart, that's like, God, do what you need to do. Refine me in the fire to change me, if that's what's needed to make me more like Jesus. That's a dangerous prayer. That's a dangerous song to sing as a prayer. But we sing it, right? So being changed, it's really spiritual warfare. There's a part of us, Romans 7, 15 to 20. There's a spiritual battle going on once we receive Jesus into our lives. We have a spiritual life in the Spirit that's within us. We receive the Holy Spirit. But we also still have the residual sinful nature. When I am born again, my sinful nature doesn't just evaporate, right? There is still a sinful nature that lives within me. And there's also the Spirit of God comes in and lives as well. And here's what Paul says about wanting to do what Jesus wants him to do and the struggle that that is sometimes. For what I want to do, this is, gets a little tongue twisting, for what I want to do, he says, I don't do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin and work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Right? What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was the struggle for Paul as he was hoping to grow up and become more like Jesus, as he had this spiritual battle going on inside him where there was always a struggle between doing what he thought he knew God wanted him to do and the sinful nature that was still alive in him. That's a challenge for all of us. That battle is never going to be over this side of glory. There is a parable, similar but a little bit different, Tale of the Two Wolves. Maybe you've heard, a Cherokee grandfather is talking with his grandson and he says, there are two wolves inside of us which are always at battle. One is a good wolf, which represents things like kindness, bravery, love. The other is a bad wolf, which represents greed, hatred, fear. The grandson stares and thinks about it for a second and says, grandfather, which one wins? And the grandfather quietly replies, you've heard it? The one you feed, right? Right. The spiritual battle that goes on within, between our sinful nature, living in the flesh, and our life by the Spirit. Galatians 5. Paul's writing to the Galatians. He says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will no longer gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, thank you, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here's the part, against these there is no law. There's no law. If I am operating and God is changing me by his Spirit to be like Jesus, who would have a complaint? Who would have something to say against a person who is living in the fruit of the Spirit? Who could say something against a person who is loving, a person who's joyful, a person who's peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled? What is it? What could you say against a person who is operating in that particular way? Pretty hard to bring an accusation against somebody who's living and growing in Christ that way. And then finally, Romans 8. Sorry for the jumping around. Romans 8, 5 to 9. Where does the battle begin? Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Where is the battle? In the mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right? If I want to become more like Jesus, according to what I'm hearing here, a big part of that in being transformed by Jesus is I've got to change the way I think. Got to change the way I think. And just to finish with a couple of things, how do I do that? How do I change the way I think? And one of them just has some applications for our physical life as well, is nutrition, right? Need to eat well. And as Kathy will tell you, I eat very well all the time. Right, Kathy? No? That's a lie. If I am not eating healthy, my body is not going to be healthy, my physical body. And the same thing with my spirit. If I am not feeding my spirit with health food, it's not going to be good for me to be transformed. So what should I be in each day? This is all review, I'm sure, for most of you. What do I need to be in?
Bread of life.
I need to be in the Word, right? I need to be in the Word. Before I get in the Word, it's just ask, you know, Holy Spirit, teach me, show me today, guide me. One of the biggest things that the enemy will work against us, and it's my story, is getting me out of the Word and finding whatever the reason is. I don't have time, it's too late, oh, I'm busy, is not getting into the Word enough. Because he knows, this will change my life and make me more like Jesus. Right? This will transform my life by reading, studying, and applying the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So if I want to be winning that battle, I need to be in the Word, right? Newsflash, I'm sure, for most of us. No. The second thing is, I need to be doing what we can call spiritual breathing. When I'm breathing physically, when I exhale, I'm getting rid of the things that are poisonous to me, right? In the lungs, poisons come out. When I inhale, what do I take in? I take in those things that are going to be healthy for me, right? Get rid of carbon dioxide, take in oxygen. Same thing we can be doing, spiritual breathing in our lives. We exhale the garbage, right? We exhale spiritually those things that are hurting us. What's another word for exhaling? Confession, right? So what I need to be doing regularly is I need to be confessing my shortfalls, my stumbles, right? Those times that I trip up, those times that for the 10th time I know I've done something that's not pleasing to God. I need to confess that to him right away. Right away. And what is his promise? His promise in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I would also say the word says, therefore confess your sins to one another. My experience has been, it is easier, and I don't know why I'm just twisted, it is easier for me to be in my closet going, Lord, forgive me for this, than it is to come to a brother and say, I've stumbled again. I'm not sure what it is about coming to somebody and just saying, you know what, there's flesh and blood in front of me. My encouragement is find somebody you can confess your sins to and pray with. It's not going to build the church up or anybody if I stand up here and start confessing where my shortcomings are. That's not what God is calling us to do, to say, stand up here and say, this is where I fail. I think what God is asking me to do is have somebody who knows me, somebody who cares about me, somebody I know loves me, somebody who can keep it confidential, and I can come to that person and say, you know what, pray for me.
It's accountability.
Totally, yeah. And I would encourage you that everybody should have somebody that they can go to and pray, and not just for confession, but just to pray for, right? To be built up, to be encouraged. There should be somebody in your life or a couple of people in your life who you trust with that. And the inhaling part is just asking the Holy Spirit to fill me. Exhale, confess. Inhale, say, God, fill me by your Spirit and help me to be the kind of person that you want me to be. Help me to start over again. I love Psalm 50, David's prayer, after he got caught with Bathsheba. And his prayer goes like this. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me according to what? My goodness? No, according to your unfailing love. Be merciful according to your unfailing love, God. According to your great compassion, blot out my iniquity. Exhaling, right? Confession. Inhaling, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David's modeling that process of spiritual health. Exhale, confess. Inhale, ask for help by the Holy Spirit. I'll leave you with a great benediction, 2 Peter 3:16. He exhorts the believers, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love family. Thank you that you want all of us to be part of your family. We thank you, Father, that you want us to grow up to be like Jesus. And we're here this morning to ask you to help us in that. By your Spirit, would you fill us more? By your Spirit, would you show us those areas that we hang on to tightly that maybe are hurting us from growing more to be like Jesus? Maybe we quick to come to you when we fail. And we just ask again that as we become more like Jesus, that your light would shine brighter in this valley, that your kingdom would come more fully, that more people would be touched by your Spirit through us, and that the lost would come home and find you waiting. And we ask that all in Jesus' name. Amen.